Welcome to episode 6 of Firehouse Confessions. Today I'm going to talk about close calls. I've had a few over the years. Some were memorable, some were kind of blips on the radar. And so I have a special guest today that's going to talk about his as well. But first, I want to go into the first near miss that I had, a close call that I had. It was a structure fire inside of a pool hall. And me and my captain at the time, you know, we had several fires together and we got, you know, pretty comfortable working together. And so, to be honest, we got a little complacent. So we had stopped following some of the protocols and things that we knew would keep us safe if we followed them. We negated all of that and we kind of started doing our own thing. And so we made entry without the use of a hose line, a search rope, nothing. We just went into this commercial building just on our own. And so we were hoping to join up with a crew that was already inside there. We take about 10 or 15 steps in, and we realize very quickly that, you know, we are on our own, that we don't know where this crew is at. We don't have a hose line to follow them. It's zero visibility inside. And so we know, almost recognize immediately that we're in trouble. And so we kind of just start tap dancing around the room, trying to find the hose line. The hose line can lead you out or it can lead you to the crew. We were willing to settle for either one, but we found no such hose line. And so we just kept tap dancing, kept searching, kept looking. And so, you know, as your anxiety goes up, you know, you tend to breathe a little harder. And so, you know, I was depleting my air pretty quickly. And so I just, you know, just kept searching. So what seemed like an eternity, it was probably only 2 or 3 minutes, you know, it seemed like 10. And so eventually we ended up meeting up with a rescue company who had made entry as well, and coincidentally had gotten lost as well. The equipment that they had to be able to read heat signatures malfunctioned, and so we were both kind of in the blind. And so we all recognize this. Of course, I'm panicking by now because I'm just waiting for my low air alarm to go off because I know I've been in here what seemed like an hour. And so, you know, everybody's searching for the hose line. That's, at this point, this is our only way out. And so one of the rescue guys end up coming across a hose line, and we determined that going back to the left led out. And so that's the way we took. We exited the structure, and, you know, the first breath of air that I took without the use of my oxygen tank was probably the sweetest I had ever inhaled. And so I learned a valuable lesson that day that, you know, it doesn't take but just a second of not following the rules, you know, and your life can be in danger. You know, this was my first career after high school. And so what was different from like other jobs is, you know, if you don't follow the rules, you could die. You know, most jobs, if you don't follow the rules or you deviate from the plan, yeah, you may get disciplinary action, and, you know, you get a stern talking to as to why you need to follow the rules, because it throws, you know, things out of order, off kilter. But in firefighting, if you don't follow the rules, sometimes the consequences could be that, you know, you die or you cause somebody else's demise. And so for me, that was just kind of a game changer in the way that I thought about my profession, in the fact that, you know, there are real life consequences, you know, to not doing the right things on my job. And so I never forgot that from that day forward. I always tried to do, you know, what was right, what, you know, what the department had set. And so, yeah, that was a pretty close one. I was very young at the time. I think I was 20, 21. And also it rattled me. You know, I went home that morning and I really thought about, you know, was this something that I wanted to do for the rest of my working life? You know, did I truly want to be a firefighter? And so that feeling went away after a few days of just kind of realizing that that situation was induced by me and my captain, my partner. That was a situation that we created. It wasn't a situation that happened to us. We created that situation. And so I thought that, you know, if I do the right things, hopefully I won't end up in that situation again. And so the second close call that I remember actually happened about 6 years ago. We had a house fire in a pretty affluent neighborhood in the area that I live. And so we made entry. This was a three-story house. And so we were searching for fire extinction. We had identified the primary fire in one of the rooms, and so we were searching for extension. And so I got to the second floor. I had a tool with me that, you know, allows me to punch through ceilings to check to see if fire has extended into the attic and, you know, is it moving. And so as I was trying to punch through the ceiling, the ceiling would not budge. The ceiling would not give. And so, you know, it was well constructed, but I just felt that, you know, that wasn't it. I was like, man, have I gotten weak? You know, has it been that long since I, you know, did this particular maneuver? And so I just kept punching through the ceiling, and the ceiling, I was making very little headway. And so my guys, they kind of, you know, joined in on the action, and, you know, they were getting their butt kicked. And so, you know, I'm kind of a stubborn person, and, you know, especially at that time, you know, I was very much the alpha male type A, you know, macho pride thing going on. And so I just kept punching through the ceiling. And, you know, I was making very, very, very little headway. So finally, I just kept pulling into the point of exhaustion, and I couldn't go anymore. And so I just gave up on it. And so while we were doing that, another crew entered the building and started ventilation and clearing the smoke out of the structure. And so as the room began to, you know, get less, you know, less foggy, we looked into one of the closets in the room, and in that closet was a staircase. You know, it was like some Chronicles of Narnia type stuff. Like, it was a real, you know, weird place. In fact, to this day, I think I've seen a closet with a staircase in it. And so we identified the staircase. Of course, we had to go up it now that we've seen it. And so we go up the staircase that was in the closet, and it gave way to an attic space that had been kind of renovated to be a studio apartment kind of. And so there was furniture in there, and we kind of, you know, we started scanning the room, and, you know, I think after about 15 or 20 seconds, I looked and I saw a huge Olympic weight bench with about 10, 11, 45-pound plates that were on the floor and that was on the bench. And so the resistance I encountered trying to punch through the ceiling was those weights. They weren't budging. But had I been successful in, you know, making a large enough hole in the ceiling or compromising the integrity of that ceiling, all those weights would have came crashing down on me. And that was easily 500-600 pounds. And so that could have definitely, you know, killed, injured me and my crew. And so we just kind of looked at each other after that, and just, you know, I thank God for, you know, not allowing that ceiling to give way. And the home builder, he did a wonderful job of making a good ceiling. And so those are the two calls that I remember the most that could have definitely went the other way. But I want to give Captain Dickey a chance to share his story and the two close calls that he encountered in his career. So y'all listen up and y'all enjoy.
So about 2002, I had a house fire, apartment fire at Paces Brook Apartments. Fairly new to the fire service, been in the fire service now 17 years, Captain Dickey. And we with Irmo Fire were on the third floor of an apartment fire, and everything was going pretty well, so we thought, heard some cracking, and we went from standing to lying flat, as if we were never standing at all. Roof collapsed, knocked everybody down, people screaming, and a hole burned in the floor beneath us. We had a captain that was stuck against the wall and took a flying leap to get over that hole before everything else went bad. Code red went out. Everybody left the structure via whatever means of egress. That was one of the scariest things that I ran across in the fire department. And the thing is, in that moment, you don't really have time to get scared. You're trying to get yourself safe. You're trying to get your crew safe. And when it's over and it's said and done, you stop and reflect on what could have happened. So as a young firefighter, we were in an apartment complex. The fire was on the second floor. When we get there, we're fairly close, second due, and had a pretty good amount of fire. We make entry, myself and the captain, on the bottom level, and we were fighting fire along the way. Conditions were not very great. Ventilation hadn't started yet. We did have water on the fire. We hear a loud sound coming from just ahead of us. Wasn't sure what it was, and we kept pushing ahead. The captain wanted me to enter a room to fight fire inside that room while he did a search. We heard another loud sound, a crash that was really close to us. After ventilation started and we're still actively fighting fire, trying to push through, I did pause for a minute trying to fight fire in that room. After the ventilation started and things cleared up, I realized had I taken a few more steps further, it was a large dresser that fell from the third floor to the first level, 5 feet in front of us. If we would have pushed any harder than that, I don't believe we'd be here today.
Thank you, Captain Dickey, for sharing both those stories with us. You know, there's a saying that God looks out for fools and children. And if that's true, I was happy with being either one of those on those two incidents in which I was spared. Firefighters out there who experience near misses, try to learn something from it and learn from the people who tell these stories. So whether you experience it or know somebody who experienced it, you know, try to learn something from it and take that with you. It's, you know, when we report on duty every third day, some of us every day, every call could be our last. And while we certainly do not reflect on that a lot, it does change how you move through, you know, space, how you move through life on this great planet. And so I just want to tell everybody, you know, whether you're firefighting or not, always try to remember that every day you walk out that door, you know, it could be your last or it could be something life altering that happens to you. And so appreciate every moment. And you know, don't, you know, in our everyday hustle and bustle, don't forget to appreciate life that we have as we know it. And so that's something that I always try to take with me and try to remind others. I'm No Smoke Jones. If you're a firefighter or a first responder that, and you would like to share whatever your story is, please feel free to contact me at nosmokejones@gmail.com. That's all one word. And so until next time, firefighters, first responders, general public, y'all stay safe. We'll